This is Maurice Philogene, and welcome to the Try Life On podcast. Well, you may not believe it, but I've been an actor. I've tried out for the NFL, been a street cop, federal agent. I worked my way up the military chain of command to the rank of lieutenant colonel. I was also an executive at a global consulting firm, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate in the United States. I've started developing on a Mediterranean island, and to boot, I've traveled to 100 countries over 300 times, and generally all this stuff at the same time. No, I'm not trying to be everywhere. I'm not trying to do everything. What I was trying to do, and I'm still trying to do, is to try life on, to plug into planet and earth as intended, and to fill my life book with experiences and relationships, and not just accept the status quo. So what we're going to do on this podcast is introduce you to the mindset, the skill set, the soul set, the approach that is Try Life On, and expose you to the people who've been doing it just like me, their tools, their tips, their tactics to trying life on, because we all can try life on in our own way. So sit back, relax, let's go for a ride. Let's go try life on. Rewired, not retired. That's the name of my man, Glenn Hicks's book. Welcome back to another edition of Try Life On podcast. This is Maurice, your host. I am talking to Glenn Hicks, who is a fellow North American soul, but he lives up in Canada in St. John's, New Brunswick. Glenn is an IT and telecommunications executive for over 25 years with telecoms across Canada. But he patterns himself a digital independent, which is very different from a digital nomad. He goes into the difference between the two. What I love about this interview, and I called it out right at the beginning, Glenn in 2002 had a heart attack at just at age 34. Stress from working, health issues, diabetes related, and he was dead for 5 minutes, effectively dead, and he was brought back to life. And he talks about being in the darkness and only thinking about his family, his kids, and realizing much later after the fact that work was not the end all be all of what he wanted out of life. It was to spend meaningful time with his family. So at some point later in the future, he became what he calls a digital independent. He rewired his mind. He did not retire, and he shifted to no longer having a job that would run his life, no longer letting the 9-to-5 dictate to him what to do, but leveraging that 9-to-5 to create two businesses, which he bootstrapped from the ground up. He runs a CIO advisory firm now. CIO is chief information officer. So I talk about this all the time. A lot of us have professional skills that people will pay for. And he took advantage of his 2 decades of being a CIO, and he advises CIOs of mainly growth companies to help them manage their IT at scale. Glenn has written the book called Rewired, Not Retired, which is incredibly meaningful for me because my identity for decades was a military person, a police officer, an executive at an IT firm. And 2 years removed from all that, that is not what makes me who I am at all. My mind has totally rewired, and Glenn captures it perfectly in his book. But when I had the conversation with him, what really stuck out to me was his ability to just do and course correct, take charge of his life. After that event, when he had the heart attack in 2002, he actually had another one just 2 years ago. And he continues to focus on the things that truly mean the most in life, which is family, friends, connecting to a global community. He and I, frankly, could be brothers, except that he's white, I'm black, he's in Canada, I'm in the US. But we think very similar related to life, to make sure that we protect and create time to be around the things, the people, and the experiences that we want. He is truly the epitome of a Try Life On guy, and I was blessed to get him on the podcast. I have been chasing him for maybe several months now, and we finally connected. I think it will be a very fulfilling conversation for folks out there to hear if you are trying to approach your 9-to-5 a bit different, and hear the justification and the why behind Glenn's shift and how he has created a unique infrastructure around him. Two businesses, an advisory firm, and being the middle of a community that he calls digitalindependence.life. Okay? So I hope you sit back, relax, enjoy this wide-reaching conversation with my man, Glenn Hicks, truly an epitome of a Try Life On person, not a digital nomad, but a digital independent. So it's a new term that I learned that clearly defines who I am as well. I think a lot of you want to be digital independents as well. That's why you should listen to my man, Glenn Hicks. Hey, there he is. I know that face. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. It is my pleasure to finally meet you.
Finally, I know. It's been a bit. Like, it's these relationships you create on LinkedIn, and it's like, my old buddy, I know you.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. I was listening to a couple of your other interviews and stuff like that, and you were talking about how when you punched out of the 9 to 5, we'll get to it, but when you punched out of the 9 to 5 world and everything, you started to build all these global relationships with people. Absolutely. And it's something that I relate to very much. I have this like this statement that I could land in 30 countries right now and a friend or someone I'm at least semi-close with would come pick me up, you know? And that stuff is valuable. So I'm like, I know my man Glenn up in St. John, New Brunswick. I'm gonna roll up there.
Oh yeah, we'd love to have you. It's funny, I was in your neck of the woods. I was in Washington a few weeks ago for a co-working conference, and I met up with a fellow that I met up in Basecamp community, so the actual software Basecamp. There's a few of us that are in that have been invited to a community. Yeah. And we've generated a relationship over the last, year. And it's like, we got to meet. So we met up for drinks at the casino and it was awesome.
Yeah, brother.
3 hours went by like crazy.
And that's the way that it should be. And in a lot of cases, and don't worry, I know we went right into it, but I've already introed you to the TriLifePhone community and they know who you are. And so don't worry about all that stuff, but it's a pleasure to meet you. When you and I were in Office World, we never had time for stuff like that.
No.
And that's what I tell people. I talk about 5 freedoms: time, financial, geographic, purpose. And then the last one is freedom to build meaningful relationships. If we're stuck in Cube World from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., then I'm not meeting a Glenn and Glenn is not meeting a Maurice, and then we're not broadening our horizons outside of what our corporate world is. Wouldn't you agree?
100%. I thought I knew a lot of people and I knew a lot of people around the world when I worked for a big telco. And, I thought I had tons of connections and relationships. And I did. The only thing is they're all telco people. And telco people are bad people. It's just they're a lot the same. And so I left and started to really get involved in the local community. I joined the board of our multicultural organization. I have connections with people that aren't, either IT people or telco people or executive or, and it's just amazing. Like, it's just the connections you have, the real connections that you have, not on sort of superficial stuff. So
that's it. That's it. So I want to acknowledge you as a fellow digital independent. I love that phrase. I love that phrase. And I am not a digital nomad. I'm more digital independent the way that you are.
Yeah.
I read a bit of your book.
Nice.
And I want to read something to you and I want to see your reaction to it.
Okay.
And let folks hear your reaction to it from somebody who was in corporate for 2+ decades and was a CIO and telecoms and Bell and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it says, this is from your book. That day, I was brought back to life in the most profound way. And that act initiated a series of realizations and choices that have paved my journey to date. Back to life? Well, that implies that I was living fully before. In a sense, I was living. I had a fantastic partner, amazing children, and a job that most people would be grateful to have. We had a nice home, vehicles that provided us the freedom to go anywhere, and food on our plates. But it wasn't until my heart attack that I even started to understand that this quote-unquote good life was missing something. And because of my commitment to my job, I missed soccer practice, parent-teacher meetings, suppers with my family, among other things. I was a family man who hardly saw his family, but I had a good job.
Yeah.
How does that?
I got chills, and it's going to take me a second to go, kind of come around.
Take a second. I know it brings you back to a really tough time in your life. And I know that it was a bit of a motivation for what you have become and how you have evolved as a person. But most of the people, and this is why I'm so grateful to you for showing up today, many of the people who are listening are looking for the motivation to try life on their way, the motivation to make a shift in career, the motivation to become creative versus being technical. You had a lot, but what really hit me about that passage was you saying I was a family man who hardly saw his family.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that event was me having a massive heart attack at 34. Mm-hmm. So prior to that, I had was in IT. I had been promoted to a very senior role, 200 people reporting to me, but before I was 30 years old. And I was, I am a workaholic. I guess that's something you never really recover from. You manage, just like any addiction. But I really thought the whole world was on my shoulders running this IT organization, 200 person IT organization in Canadian, you know, small Canadian telephone company. But I felt the weight. I still remember, like, prior to that date, out with my kids on a Saturday at the fair. I remember this vividly, just riddled with guilt and anxiety that why wasn't I working? Like, this is not right. I should be working. Like, how silly is that? But that was my mindset, because for whatever reason, and I like to say because people depended on me, that was part of it, but it was my own ego. It was a whole bunch of things, right? And addiction, it's got there too fast, a whole bunch of reasons. So I was always working. So I don't even want to count in hours, because I was just always working. I was asleep, I was working. It just dominated my mind. Until that moment when, you're in the darkness and there's no, you don't hear anything, you don't see anything, you're alone with your thoughts. And you remember, I came in, I have chest pains. Like, I remember all of the events all went through my mind. And I didn't worry about the meeting I had scheduled the next day during my March break. We were on a vacation to Toronto. I didn't think of any of that. All I thought of was, I'm not leaving two young boys and a wife without a father and husband. I'm just not going to do that.
And you were 34 years old.
34 years old. And I was dead. Like,
you were dead.
Full cardiac arrest. I had a major blood clot formed in what they call the widowmaker. It's the left anterior descending. It's a very top artery that feeds the front and back of your heart.
Was it and if it's too sensitive, let me know, but was that a function of health, bad habits, genetics? Do you know how that all manifested itself?
Diabetic. I was diabetic that when I checked, not type 1, type 2. I was probably diagnosed 2 years beforehand, and I didn't really manage it. So that combination of things and bad luck, because I had an 80% blockage. So I did have high cholesterol, those things that led to it. And then a blood clot formed. And
wow.
It happened that quick. So thankfully, they brought me back and I could start to see through the haze. I could start to hear muffled voices. And then it's just like a episode of ER. Someone's on your chest with paddles. Lights are going off. People are trying to shove, a thing down your throat. It was But that stuck with me is the only thing that mattered was my family.
Isn't it interesting? So when I read that, I heard you talk about that in a podcast interview, and then I read a portion of that in your book, Rewired, Not Retired. But isn't it interesting how, and I'll be vulnerable with you as well, but isn't it interesting how when we are working like in that mode, the only thing that seems to matter is getting the strategic plan done or getting that report to your boss or something. In my case, and the reason why I wanted to start with that story is because I don't want other people to wait until they have that life-bending moment to make a shift, because the job really doesn't even matter. It's just a tool to live life and to be around the things that are most important, which is your family.
Yeah.
Similar to your situation with the fair, I don't think I've said this on a podcast. I have said it somewhere else, but not on a podcast. When my second son, Noah, was being born in 2013, I had my laptop at the hospital. I was doing a proposal. I'll never forget. I was doing a proposal for one of the cabinet agencies for the federal government. It was on me to get it done. I brought it to the hospital. And when the missus would go into labor or into contractions, I would, you know, they would pull me into the OR, I guess, or whatever, or her room. And then she would calm down and I would know nothing would be going on for 15 minutes. So then I would go work on the proposal. And after that day, I caught myself. And that's when, if you've ever noticed, when I type on LinkedIn, I do that that post where I talk about I shifted mindset after 15 years, where I was just climbing the ladder. And all of a sudden, I was like, this is silly. I'm not getting freedom. I'm getting more hours. It was after my son was born where I was like, what am I doing? That was my shift. Now, one of my shifts, but it wasn't as death defying as what you went through. And I'm grateful you're back. We're all grateful that you're back, but I wanted people to hear that story. And I wanted to remind you of where you came from so we can talk about where you're headed to.
Yeah. And I think the other thing I also want your listeners to realize that, you know, you can't also live in fear. So make the change before something happens, but things happen. So I had another heart attack 2 years ago, even though
second
I had
another
on Boxing Day, the day after Boxing Day. Similar symptoms, didn't know what, you know, I actually made breakfast for the kids, but that night beforehand, I was writing a death file, like how to use a remote control, where the Wealthsimple account password is, like literally, because I didn't want to go to bed. And then the next morning I get up and make the kids breakfast. Then it all came and my daughter said, took one look at me and said, "Dad, get the bleep in the car. We're going to the hospital." And sure enough, I had another heart attack, more mild. I didn't get to the point of had to be resuscitated, but the point is, this is only 2 years ago, even after I'm living and I have a fabulous life.
Yeah.
Things happen. So don't wait. They could be induced by the life, but enjoy success is a journey. I know that sounds trite, but success really is a journey. It's about every day. You can't erase the past. Can only learn from it. You can't predict or you don't have a future. You just have what's right now.
And I tell people, I volunteered at a old folks home. It happened to be an old folks home that I used to patrol as a police officer. So I actually knew some of the people in there. And I quipped that all those folks who were in their late 70s, 80s, and some in their 90s, none of them were talking about the promotion or how much money they made or the fact that they were at the office late. They were all talking about family. The girl they didn't ask to marry them, the guy that they forgot to check on, the experience they never had, the fear of flying on planes so they didn't get a chance to go to Europe. Like, it's always those things.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful you shared your feelings on that, because you did say, and I want to highlight it for people, when the black came, when the darkness came, all you were thinking about was your family.
That's it.
you weren't thinking about the telco. Now, there's nothing wrong with the work, but what I'm suggesting is that there's priority in life, and you certainly organize them after that.
Well, here's the interesting thing, because I stayed for 40 or 16 more years at that company, and they were fabulous, by the way. So this was about me. This wasn't about the company.
And right. This is you.
It was about me. And because they said, look, you can take a individual contributor role. Like, we need you here. We need you healthy, you know, whatever we can do. And I said, this is about me. This is not about the job. So I actually stayed in my job. I actually ended up getting promoted 3 or 4 more times afterwards, taking on bigger and bigger jobs. But I did them fundamentally different. I don't think I worked a weekend afterwards in those 16.
Approached it different. Yeah.
You know, like, I had natural clipping. So if things started to get stressful, it's like, oh, there's worse things than getting fired. Dying's one of them. So just, you know what I mean?
Like, more worried about it. Yeah. Less fear.
And I did things that I didn't do. You know, I was a bad leader. I was trying to be the smartest person in the room. Newsflash, I'm not. And I, you know, I try to do things for people versus challenging them to step up and do it themselves with support, with help. So I learned all these lessons. Everything you read in the leadership books, I actually had to do, because I physically couldn't do it for a bit. And it all works. It all works. If you practice servant leadership, you can do amazing things, even in a big corporate context.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you know, that's what I love about you.
It's not the 9-to-5. It's our approach to it.
It's our approach to it. Yeah. Absolutely. That's what I love about your story and your journey, Maurice, is that you're saying, hey, you know, what do you call it in the States? W-4?
W-2. Yeah, I got to remember. They're international people. But yeah, W-2 is the pay stub that we get when we get paid.
Right. It's basically a job. You're employed by
it's
someone,
a job.
Right?
Yeah.
You put that into context. It says, look, you know, make it more transactional. I mean, you commit it to a point, and build it as part of your plan. Don't make it become your identity. Don't make it become you. And I think so many people do. And that's why so many people either get, you know, divorced or die or sick, or when they leave.
And, you know, the funny thing is, and then I want you to talk about digital independence and how you made the shift. But the funny thing is, for all of my careers, and I don't know if you feel like this, but for the 22 years of military service and being lieutenant colonel and a federal agent there, and then 25 years at Accenture as an IT management consulting guy or executive, and then 15 years of street cop, I'm now 2 to 4 years removed from all of that. I don't like being labeled that at all. Like, you leave it, you appreciate it, and then you realize that it was just chapters to a bigger story.
Absolutely.
But I didn't know that when I was there, and I coveted it as my identity.
Yes.
And my identity is so much broader than that, that when people say, hey, there's Maurice, the police officer, it actually kind of pisses me off, because it's not true anymore. Right. That was just a phase for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, it's interesting, and you probably faced this, you may have faced this when you made the transition. I know I certainly did when I became a digital independent. Was there's something about a title. You go to a social or a professional event, and oh yeah, I'm the, you know, VP of this, or the, you know, CIO of that, or, and people are like engaged, you know, superficially engaged, and there's something to that, right? That feeling. When you lose that, there is a bit to deal with, and so
there's a void,
and I used to say, well, I used to do this, and I'd be this, and now I'm doing this, and I would be a, you know, 14-minute description rather than just a title. Mm-hmm. And then I finally embraced it and said, you know, I call myself a digital independent. And
tell me about that. Yeah.
And then what people would do is, like, they'd say, what's that? Tell me more. And I'd love to talk to those people. Yep. And then there'd be people that, as soon as you said something like that, they'd be looking, oh, there's the VP of whatever over there. I better go talk to them. and I don't want to talk to those people anyways.
Me neither.
So, you know, people that are curious, I'm curious, then you start a real dialogue. So anyway, that's why I called. But
yeah, so what is that? What is a digital independent, which you are, versus a digital nomad, for example?
Yeah, so the focus is on the independence. A nomad could be working for someone. The nomad is really about traveling. It's really about going anywheres, and it's almost the point. So digital nomads is all about the travel. Mm. Usually skew younger, although my son is 29. He's a digital independent, not a nomad. And, you know, they look better on a beach than I do, but they, so they're, that's the nomad. So I said, I'm not really a nomad. I'm not ready to jump and go to Thailand and, you know, use my laptop on the beach.
Right.
I'm independent. That's the big shift. I no longer have to work or have a job to live the life I'm looking to live. So that's, it's about, I don't work for anybody. And it's incorporated in all my, you know, I've started a couple of businesses. Mm-hmm. Both are self-investment. They're both bootstrapped. And I've been offered money.
No investors. You use your own money, your own time, your own sweat.
Absolutely. Because
of that,
I'd be working for somebody. I wouldn't be independent.
Yes, right.
So mm-hmm. It doesn't mean alone. It just means you're in control of your life. So that's the independent. And then digital is, you know, it's a way to get out beyond the bounds of your geography. So digital, well, here we are. This is, you know,
right,
we would never have necessarily, except for the digital world. So and then, you know, I also deliver my services. So I do CIO advisory. So I advise CIOs, mainly in growth companies. So anywhere from 250 to 1500 employees, and they're struggling. Either they're new to the role or they're new to the growth. And they're mm-hmm. struggling with, how do I manage IT at scale? Mm-hmm. I know how to do that. I love coaching. I love advisory. So I deliver that service. None of the CIOs that I advise live anywhere near me. So that's all right. Digital delivery. So that's a long-winded story, but that's,
I got you.
Independent first, digital is the tool.
I wanna call something out. I do coaching through online. Mainly sourcing from LinkedIn, but typically around lifestyle design, but a lot of real estate is related to that too, since I've done quite a bit of real estate. I have commented on this before, but just about every professional, or even blue collar worker, let's say an AC HVAC technician or something like that, has a certain skill set and a certain knowledge base that somebody will likely pay for that information so they can cut right to the chase.
Yes.
You are doing that in the form of CIO advisory. I know CIO is Chief Information Officer.
Yes.
You are doing that in the form of CIO advisory. So you're probably advising other CIOs in these growth companies so they can build their IT infrastructure and what have you. How are you finding your customers? How are you operating that business? Because a lot of the folks listening do have professional skills that if they just get a landing page or something and post about it and attract customers, they could start their own solopreneur business, but they don't know how to go about doing it. Could you just comment on that for me?
Yeah, it really depends on the market. Like, it depends on who you're approaching in terms of what marketing vehicle you use. Most of mine has been referral or word of mouth.
Referral or word of mouth. Okay.
Yeah, word of mouth. And it's, you know, it's a thing I do. It's not my only source of income or cash. It's a thing I do because I absolutely love it.
You love it.
So yeah. I purposely keep it under 10 clients.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's other, you know, I've also started U Station, which you see here. I'm at U Station, which is a workspace as a service company. Mm-hmm. Start the digital independent life community. And I'm going to start a software company soon.
Awesome.
A very small software company. So it allows me, keeps my, it allows me to have impact, because when I see the stress reduce off these busy CIOs that don't quite know how to deal with everything that's coming at them.
Yep.
it just it's really really it's really rewarding. So that's kind of what it is. So to answer your question, you know, mine was either referral or word of mouth. It really comes down to get somebody that knows some marketing, get a digital independent that knows how to market to
there you go.
who you're looking to market and collaborate with them. That's probably the best way I would say to go about it.
And I also want to call, I love the fact that you said you keep it under 10 clients. On the coaching side, I'm kind of high ticket coaching at this point, but I only do 10 clients or less, 10 coaching students or less. Yeah. I don't want to do group coaching. I don't want to create a digital product to sell. I like having massive impact on one person. And ideally, actually, every one of my coaching students, we've stayed connected after the fact because we've learned so much about each other. There is a power in a lifestyle business like that where you stated it beautifully right at the beginning. I get to do this because I still want to have impact.
Yes.
You still want to be out there getting the thing done. We're not going to digital independent world to just sit on the beach all the time and drink a Mai Tai and not be useful.
No, that's not me.
Yeah. I love it.
And you know, some people do like it's what is your thing. And that's what's important to do. Like you can't copy or replicate somebody's thing and say that's going to satisfy you. Like you've got to experiment. You know what I mean? You know, I tried some things that it's like, I'm not doing this. The thing is it with being an independent, you do have the ability to say no. That's a very powerful thing privileged with being able to say, you can pay me a lot of money for that. I call it POTS, plan on the shelf. So I won't do a plan on the shelf, even though you couldn't pay me enough money to do one, because it's something you can tick a box and you had a consultant in, you produced a big piece of paper, not interested. And being, you know, given you work with a consulting organization, you probably have been experienced with POTS once in a while.
And millions of dollars and to put a book on a shelf and just kind of sits there for a while.
Soul sucking. Yeah. I get to say no.
It is. So I am experiencing what I heard you coin as a renaissance. My digital independentness, if you will, became solid in November of 2021. Here we sit in November of 2023, so 2 years now, and I'm in my house in the DC area. I just bought a new house. I'm sitting at my kitchen table with this laptop, a light, a microphone, another computer that has some notes when I was researching you. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this is my life. I'll have a couple investor calls relative to real estate, but I'll generally taking it easy today. And I did one or two coaching students today. I've had to get used to that. It's very odd. I find myself at red lights during the day, seeing everybody running around, thinking to myself, where is everybody going? What is everybody doing that everybody is racing around so much? And maybe that's the rat race around me. Maybe I was in that before, but didn't realize that I was running around like that.
Yeah.
What has you're much further into your digital independence than I am. Did you go through that? And are you still going through that? Are you used to it now? It's very difficult to describe to someone who hasn't experienced it.
Yeah. Been really lucky. I had a bit of a transition at the beginning, but it wasn't bad. I think it's because the choice to leave was I actually liked, you know, my job, but then we got acquired by a massive company and had a fundamental values misalignment with how what they expected from an executive. They expected the executive to be the smartest person in the room, small team. And they're just an extension of you. And that just wasn't me. I was about developing people. I was about having a very broad scope. And I would always go and push the person in my team forward with my hand on their back. That was the way you couldn't survive in this big company as an executive that way. So we had a major values misalignment. and a demand to move to the big city, Toronto or Montreal, in order to.
Oh, they wanted you to move.
To do the work I love. I could stay, but I wouldn't be able to do the kind of work I love. It's more strategic work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah. And then I've started to get into old patterns. I started to go down the rabbit hole of old patterns, you know, like, okay, well then I will try. And it's like, no, I'm done. So that helped, I guess, maybe that kind of adjustment. But sometimes you get a pang, you know, but it's not very often. I'll tell you, Marcy, the last 7 years, it's been, I don't think it's that many days go by. It was actually interesting because last week I was had an impromptu fishing trip with a couple of friends. One's a DI, one's not a DI.
Yeah.
One actually works for a big consulting company. And it's Sunday. We were out fishing the boats tonight, and we decided to stay Monday because, you know, we can at my cottage, and the fish were flowing. And the other DI and I were just like, okay, let's have a drink. You know, it's just Sunday. Yeah. The other one was pensing, like he was getting the Sunday scaries. Like, okay, well, I'm gonna have to reiterate.
It took me a while to let that go.
It's like I got it. It's like, well, I don't have to. I guess I do have to move one meeting, but that's all. And, you know, and he was like, rearranged, like it was stressful having experienced that.
You know, what I'm experiencing that, like, these are first world problems, right? Like we're talking about having anxiety moments because we're not going to 9 to 5.
Right.
But when Sunday comes around, so I'm grateful. We should all be grateful that we have that ability. When Sunday comes around, I still get anxiety, not to go to work, but because my son goes to school. I find myself, assuming I'm in the US, cause I do travel a lot, but I've been staying home a lot more lately. And I throw the football with Noah every morning before school. I take him to the bus. I'll meet him at the bus today at 4:00. And when he goes to school during the day, I miss him.
Yeah.
I miss him because I'm going to have a couple of meetings, maybe 2 or 3. I cap the amount of meetings I have every day. I don't want more than 3 a day. I'm not going to allow Parkinson's law to fill my calendar gets filled for no reason.
Yeah.
And then I find myself like, I have a little bit of idleness here. Like what the thing that means the most to me right now is Noah, my son is 10. I've got 5 years left in my opinion before he's like, yeah, come on, Dad, I'm going out with my boys. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I want to be around for as much of it as possible. So when Sunday comes along, I didn't realize this, but I have anxiety relative to my kid going to school. It's opposite because I want to spend more time with him.
Right. Yeah. No, I get that. I think that's so mine are now grown. But because you're thinking about this and because you're going to do this, you got much more than 15. That's the nice thing.
Thank you. I need to hear that too. Yeah.
You do. Like so when I left, my daughter was 12, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from, I typical 9 to 5 kind of dad. So I missed a lot of practices, but I would make an evening game or, you know, like I'd read her the story. Like there's things like I would do when I was, you know, in an employment situation that when I went to this, I got to spend the whole day and take her with and volunteer parent at the zip line, you know, for the whole day. I would go to all of her, I mean, she was a multi-sports of volleyball, hockey, field hockey, basketball. I'd be at all the practices. I'd be there. I'd pick her up anytime she wanted school. I was the contact. My wife's a teacher, so she, it had a good fit for doing that stuff as well. But I got to experience that, and it was gold. Like, she's now 20. This is my baby. She's now 20. And really close relationship. She's moved away, gone to school. But we, you know, kind of talk daily. And I miss her. I miss going to the games. I miss being in a rink. I do miss it.
I get it. There's a, and it doesn't require $20 million. It doesn't require you to be financially independent. It does require you to make intentional steps to become a digital independent or to work virtually for your career and organize yourself around the things that matter most. I think the problem is 20 years of formal education coming out of college tells us to go be busy in the race.
Yes.
To go focus on getting to partner, for example, at my firm as priority, and that's the way you take care of your kids. No, it's not. Actually, admittedly, I was always a father, but I got better as a dad as time went on. And what I started to realize, my kids never really wanted anything like the trips we take around the world and stuff. All they just wanted was for me to be around.
100%.
That's it. It's such a benefit to this. I know you wrote Rewired, Not Retired, which I think came out in November of 2022, and I picked up a bunch of pages of it. So thank you for that. Tell us about that book a little bit, and what prompted you to share, and then I'll start to wrap us up with some final questions.
So interesting. You know, I've always thought, you know, about writing books and stuff like that. So I actually was working with a VA, virtual assistant, that's here in New Brunswick, and she went and took a course on ghostwriting. And she said to me, she said, you know, I'd like you to be my first, you know, book, and you've got a book in you. I said, well, I think so. you know, I think I got a few books in me. But so it was actually her that prompted me the action to do it. She said, you should do it. And then, so she goes, I just talked, she wrote, and then the kind of work started, because it's now editing and
Did you self-publish, or did you get it sold to a publisher and they took care of it? You self-published.
Yeah, self-published through Amazon, iBooks, and I did get a structure edit. Best thing, so if you're ever going to do a book, get a structure edit, because it's an objective review. And I actually just gave this advice to someone that has an amazing, he's just only 34 years old, he's got an amazing backstory, and he wants to write a book. Mm-hmm. And here's the revelation I made, because when she read it, she said, are you writing your memoirs? And I said, no, I don't think so. I think I hope to be around for a while. You know, I've got more stories in my memoirs, you know, yet to come.
Yeah.
So it reads like you have a great story, but it reads like a memoir. And is that your intent? And I said, absolutely not. My intent was to use my story to support, because I'm an architect, and the framework I came up with to help people. I wrote this book, and it was initiated through my VA, but then once I grabbed onto it, I wrote this book to help people. I wrote this book to say, here's my experience, here's my learnings, here's some things to consider and think about. So she said, well, that's what you need to structure the book. So she kind of restructured it and pulled out sections. And so my story, if you look at it, it's weaved throughout in support of certain learnings or certain part of my, you know, 5-point framework.
Gotcha.
Same advice I gave him. And I said, I understand why you're doing it. Are you there to kind of get it out of you? Or are you there to change people's lives? Are you there to serve others? And that is a very big shift in terms of what you actually write and how you write it.
Yep.
This I didn't write to glorify my life. I don't need to do that. I love my life, but I really wrote it to help others that maybe are fussing with these things, to that there's a framework and a structure and an approach that you could take to live the life you want to live in a digital
independent world. And I love the title of your book, because that's exactly what's happened to me. I'm not retiring. I'm 48 years old. I have a lot of gas left in the tank, if you will. And I have noticed, and I just mentioned to you before, my brain has kind of rewired over the last couple of years since I've been not on the street as a police officer or in the military or what have you. I'm just a different person. I'm evolving into something that's radically different. The beautiful realization that I've had, and then I'd like to finish up with one of your realizations, is once I had enough, let's say DI money coming in For me, it's passive income through real estate, a little bit through coaching. But once my basic needs were met, I really didn't need much else. It's not like my style of living or my standard of living dramatically changes because I happen to make more money. Actually, I think money is just going to accentuate who you already are. And I'm just a simple dude who wears a sweatshirt every day and gets on the phone with amazing people like you. But that's the benefit of being a digital. That's it, brother. Like, I got no one to impress. You, go ahead, handle your business. I don't want to impress anybody. What is the people who listen? And first of all, I want to thank you for your story. I'm more aware of it than folks are. And I encourage folks to check out Rewired, Not Retired. It's on Amazon.
Books, yeah.
And I'll give you a moment to throw all the websites out there because I know you have a lot going on. What's a realization that you can share with people who want to try life on their way? Glenn, I wish I could grab the listenership of this podcast and some of the people who interact with me on my LinkedIn posts and Instagram and shake them.
Yeah.
And shake them. Because I want them to have the relative awareness and experience that I've had in being able to embrace the world the way that I can with time. But it takes time to get there and have that realization. What would be one piece of advice that you would give to people who want to do what it is that you're doing, trying life on their way, perhaps being digitally independent, maybe even still in the office a bit, but what would that be, especially because of what you went through medically and from a family perspective and where you are now?
Yeah, I would say take charge, take control, be intentional. Doesn't matter if you're working for someone and focus on today. Have a plan, but things will never go to plan. Mm-hmm. But plan anyways, but be here today. And the people you love are the people that you need you. They're the people that need you. And it could all be gone. So embrace
in a heartbeat.
Literally in a heartbeat.
Yep.
So you know, it. I know it feels scary. It feels like, well, that's not what the norm is. Take control. No matter what context you're in, take control what you can control, but do it. Don't be a victim to your environment or your job. That's what I, you know.
Yeah, I love it, and I tell people all the time: status quo is a default language. You can actually choose not to follow it if you'd like to. It's a choice. It's a rewiring, as you say very well within your book. And if you get around people like Glenn, you can find Glenn on LinkedIn and some other places he's going to mention. But I think it's all about exposure to people like you and I who think a little bit differently about life and work.
Yeah.
And want to connect globally and things of that nature. And then people start thinking different, you know. So in that respect, if people want to get around you, how do they find you? I know you have the digital independent life going on, but tell folks how they find you and where to go.
Yeah, LinkedIn. I'm big on LinkedIn. That's pretty much the only social media kind of like. I mean, I do have an Instagram account and stuff, but that's a big one. I have created sort of a focus community
called
digitalindependent.life. And that is where I'm bringing together digital independence. And that's kind of why we're in the community. So there's that. We're all different. Because I truly believe we're better together because of our differences, not in spite of them. So we're different. Everyone's unique, but we do have a common element, which is we're DIs or DI, you know, curious. So that's
for sure.
That's that. The other I have a U-Station is more of a local co-working space. I'm looking to expand it, but it supports a DI lifestyle. It's a office in the palm of your hand, and right. So I'm looking to grow that. But that's the place to find me. Digital Independent Life and LinkedIn. Happy to connect. Happy to help. Yeah, like life goes by so fast. Like I said, you're Noah's 10. My baby is 20. My old 29. And we are all very, very, very close. And I don't think we would be. I know we wouldn't be if I hadn't changed how I, you know, live my life professionally. So it is important, and it goes by the blink of an eye.
Yeah, man, it's important. You are a great example of it. I was not aware of the medical issue back in 2002, but once I became aware of it, it kind of clicked a little bit. And I'm not saying that was your only motivation, but certainly it gives you a different perspective. But you have taken charge the way that you say. You did make a conscious decision to leave the W-2 or your company at the time for the right reasons for you.
Yeah.
For other people, it may not make sense, and I think that's okay too, but there is optionality out there.
There is.
And the other thing I just want to highlight is the fact that you started these businesses, whether it's Uwork or your advisory business. We can create our own economy. That's the other thing, is we're kind of taught coming out of school to enter the economy, but we're in this age right now, we can create our own economy because we have these one-to-one interactions like this over a podcast or through LinkedIn or what have you.
Yeah.
And man, you are a great example for folks. I want folks to check you out at Digital Independent Life, digitalindependent.life.
.life, yeah.
.life.
Yeah.
And then you are very active on LinkedIn, where I had the pleasure of getting to know you. And then I started researching you, and I'm like, I gotta meet this amazing human at some point. And I'm glad we finally caught up with each other, my man. I really appreciate it.
I am too. I appreciate you, Maurice. I love what you're putting out there in the world, and keep going. The following you're getting, it's fabulous. Anything I can do to help spread your word, let me know.
You're doing it. You're already, it's, you know what? Let me just say one more thing. I'm not saying that people shouldn't work. I'm not saying that traditional employment's not the thing. What I'm saying is there are other ways of living and plugging into life and planet.
100%. And
when I see someone like you who's doing it, it genuinely makes me happy, because when I was on my quote unquote financial freedom and kind of spiritual journey in the 2000s and 2010s, it wasn't easy to find people like us. It wasn't.
No,
I'm not saying I'm different. I was just saying I was thinking very different about life. And to meet someone who thinks that way, it's just a pleasure. It almost validates me a little bit to know that you are out there. So I'm grateful for who you are, and for taking the time to write that book, and for taking an hour to spend with me too.
Thank you, Maurice.
All right, brother. All right. We'll be chatting soon.
Okay. Take care.
Hey, guys. This is Maurice, host of the Try Life On podcast. And thank you for listening to another episode. I hope you are finding it useful in helping you design your own lifestyle that you don't need a vacation from. If that's the case, please consider dropping a review for me, whether in Apple, iTunes, or in Spotify. Drop a review, put some stars on it, give me some feedback on how I can make the podcast better, what information you are looking for. I am doing my best to get information to you on the Try Life On principles, the five freedoms, how to build lifestyle, travel hacking, all of it. And I want to do it for you. So please do a review for me. And until next time, my name is Maurice Philogene, and this is the Try Life On podcast. Peace.